Earlier this week, I had the privilege of reading Ian Brown's moving and troubling piece in the Globe and Mail called Jean Vanier's Comfort and Joy, subtitled Finding the Places of Hope. Vanier, for those of you that know, and probably most of us do, is a famous Canadian who left his Navy commission in the 1950s, earned a PhD in theology and philosophy, and then quit lecturing at the University of Toronto in 1964, the year I was born, in order to live with two mentally disabled men in a house in Trosly, France, a few miles north of Paris. From this grew L'Arche, a worldwide community of houses for the mentally challenged. Places and communities where the mentally challenged are treated as peers by their aides. So for instance, when they decorate their homes for Christmas, the residents are given equal say in how the decorations are arranged and what kind of decorations are used. They have say in their menus and in other things of how the houses are run. Brown is a well-known Canadian journalist and a writer who has a mentally disabled son. It was Brown's son, Walker, who provided the contact point between Vanier, who is a devout Catholic, and Brown, who's an atheist. In the article, Brown starts this way. This is quite a paragraph. I don't want to overamp this, but the end of a long, dark year, after Charlie Hebdo, the Paris massacre, San Bernardino, thousands murdered by terrorists in Africa and in the Middle East, passenger planes blown out of the sky, unstoppable climate change, unprecedented rates of species extinction, 12,747 US gun deaths and counting in a single year, I can't help wondering, and I don't think I'm the only one, is this the way we're going to live now? Surrounded by threats, terrified but resigned, exhausted but furious? Welcome to the holiday season. The article that follows is a back and forth between Vanier's musings and Brown, who goes back to his room to consider what Vanier says, and if there is some way to live now that is hopeful without being self-deluding. Without saying so, what Vanier affirms in Christian language and what Brown finds in his own non-religious musings is, I think, a direct implication of this great feast we celebrate this morning. We find our hope, they both say, in a surprising way, in a fresh realization that we can't fix the world, but that we can, in our own small way, tap into love, joy, and peace by opening to them and practicing them. And when we do, we find that the love we offer to each other is indeed, and this is counterintuitive, world-changing. It changes our world, for one. It changes the ones we love, for another. And if this realization is accompanied by a complementary realization that we are small, finite creatures, then opening to and beginning to fumble towards this kind of practice is saying quite a lot, and truthfully doing a lot. And it would seem that at the heart of what we celebrate, God is saying, I too am not really trying to change the world, not in the way the world tries to change the world. I'm going to go small. I'm going to become an infant and let the chips fall where they may. Of course, I would argue this act of going small by the word that shaped all things, becoming as an infant one who had no words to offer and to utter, is indeed to save the world, writ large. For a central reason I'll mention as I close in a minute. But it's a kind of giving up on the macro. It's God resigning the divine commission, if you will, to run the world efficiently, as a good naval officer would want to do. It's God saying, you go ahead with your theology and philosophy lectures without me. I'm going to go live in a house a few miles south of Jerusalem with a peasant family. Let's see what happens if I learn to make porridge and shave wood and walk the dusty hills and learn to think with a human mind. Let's see what happens if I learn to receive love and give it in return. This year, Vanier was awarded the $2.3 million Templeton Prize, awarded for, quote, an exceptional contribution to affirming life's breadth of spiritual dimensions, whatever that means. Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, and Desmond Tutu had won it before him. The great irony, of course, is that he won it by becoming small, by giving up, if you will, on the world's way of doing things. For nothing could be further from the world's way of doing things than to spend all your considerable cultural and intellectual capital. And if, for those of you that know the Vanier family in Canada, you know there's a lot of that in that family. On those who most obviously have nothing to give to civilization's growth. And so it is with God. God saves the world by trying not to save it, if you will, by giving up the divine prerogatives to make things the way God wants them. But, and here's why we can say that this is the feast when our future is assured, when the world is indeed saved. By becoming this way with us, God becomes this way for us. And what God becomes can't be undone. God has now given the divine nature to us in the weakness of humankind, and this can never be undone, but becomes a persistent presence that keeps whispering out of far-flung mangers, little homes in Trosley, and possibly here this morning. Maybe in some kindness you've offered already this day, and I love you that you offered as a Christmas greeting. It really is a merry, wonderful morning when we rest into our inability, isn't it? Then the little things we do become analogous to the little one God became for us this blessed morning. Amen.